Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Everybody, have you heard? It's April showers. Cover your turds unless you want them to melt in the driving rain. Cleaning up diarrhea is quite the pain.
I'm Freddie. There's Amy.
I said he was going to make it dumb and he did.
But dumb in a good way.
Yeah. Andy is here.
It's like MacArthur Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like how the cake melted in the rain.
It's exactly like that.
It's like the turds are melting in the rain now.
And Kelly is here.
That's why we have rain.
Mm-hmm.
To clean up the turds.
Mm-hmm. I'll never find that recipe again.
I'll tell you right now.
Doodoo, baby.
If turds melt in the rain, then my backyard should be just a pile of diarrhea.
Yeah, it is, though.
Because there's lots of dog turds out there, and it's been raining.
Do you think people know MacArthur Park?
Was yeah,
that,
oh, yeah.
Was that reference over their head?
It should. I mean, MacArthur Park. People remember.
Yeah.
Mikey's off doing yoga. He'll be back soon.
If you were wondering why Freddie didn't say his name.
That's why. His chair is empty and mm-hmm. his crutch is there.
We're so sad.
We still set a place for him.
Yeah.
Later in the show, I'll be reviewing Big Legend. And we will all talk about Dave's pick for April showers, The Ring.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be fun. Patrons, thank you so much. Which is another Origins there. We just
recorded a little intro.
I've already forgotten what the movies were.
Grindhouse.
It was Grindhouse, and the roulette was
Mexican werewolf in Texas.
In Texas, yeah.
Texas.
So from way back, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it. If you want to join the Legion of Demons, please do. It's patreon.com/notlp. And we just had our first Discord viewing party, which was so much fun.
Twas fun.
We giggled and giggled.
I can't wait to do it again.
We shared pics of our pets.
Mm-hmm. I like the alliteration there.
Yeah. Andy fucked up the technical always.
Wasn't his fault, though. It's his Google Pixel.
Just get a goddamn iPhone.
So what that is, we have a special server. It's on Discord. If you don't know what Discord is, it's just a place where you can chat. And it feels very much like old school internet chat. It's just a few, you know, it's not a huge amount of people.
I was nice. Impressed by the turnout, considering we were up against the Avengers.
This is true. We watched Paranormal Survivor Season 2, Episode 2, which was a whole lot of fun.
I wonder if we put a dent in their box office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure. A very small dent in the world's most successful box office ever.
Well, they could have got even bigger, but we stopped them.
We did.
I suggested for our next one that we all get together and watch an episode of AFV.
Mm-hmm. Which would be awesome.
I love it.
Soup's
the
down.
Bob Saget version or the Alfonso Ribeiro's?
Well, if I can find a full app on YouTube of the Bob Saget version, that's what I would want to do. Complete with 90s, 80s commercials. That would be fantastic.
Are those not just streaming anywhere?
Well, Hulu has AFV with Alfonso. Oh.
But nobody has Bob Saget?
You can find them, can't you?
I think it'd be more fun to do a 90s AFV because of the hairstyles and fashions.
Yes. Yeah.
I think they're funnier now, though.
Oh.
I think they've really refined the formula.
Well, whatever.
These are truly the funniest videos.
They finally cracked the code.
They cracked the code.
Of the funniest video?
Yeah. I think, by the way, the people who participated in this, we have some funny... Mm-hmm. funny friends. That's
and
all I gotta
people.
Say. And they're smart as hell. And I'm just funny. So honored that they take time out of their day to spend it with us. Yeah. You guys are amazing. And thank you so much for supporting the show that we love doing so much.
You sweeties.
We need more ladies, though. It was kind of a sausage fest.
There were three ladies in there.
I would be interesting to see like the entire membership in there. That might be too many people.
That's
but
too many.
It could be fun.
That'd just be like a cacophony, like a screeching.
But you could also chat and a little, you know, type in the chat.
So we're doing that once a month, is that right?
Yeah, the plan's to do it once a month, the Thursday before each feedback recording, which we did it early this time, but hopefully that will work out. I could see us doing it. I mean, there's nothing stopping you from getting in there whenever you want if you're a patron and starting up something really fun at any time of the day. Just see who's available. Discord's always on.
Yeah, man, get in there. Say stuff to each other.
Open them guts.
Like, what movies you like? And somebody else be like, I like movies with lawyers. And they'll be like, oh, me too.
Have Hashtag
you,
me too.
You seen the Pelicans briefs?
And Justice for All. Both my favorite movie and album and song and phrase from a chant.
Oh, I started one for books called The Book Corner. It's just a text chat channel.
No.
And I posted something
appropriate.
In there. But I don't know if I did it right. If you guys can even see it.
We're grandpa.
Or if it's just that people don't give a shit.
Load of grandpa.
Ain't nobody read.
Hey.
I'm in there right now looking, and Ghostface Billa is like our go-to Discord guy.
He offered a lot of technical advice, and he was on it. So good for you, Bill.
Yeah, and he also recommended, I just looked in Discord, he's recommended Beast on Shudder. Says it's slow burn and psychological. Also, he likes.
Is that the Sleeping Void. Beauty movie?
I think it's kind of a play on that.
Yeah, I saw a trailer for that the other day.
I've heard it's good. I mean, from other people besides Bill, too.
Yeah, no, it looked all right.
Yeah.
speaking of reading, I was reading Twitter the other day. And I want to share this because I think it's literally the most ridiculous thing I've ever read on Twitter.
That's saying a lot because Twitter is like a black hole of dummies.
Yeah.
Literally.
Wait for it.
I believe you.
So
I know you don't use that word lately.
Our friend Gray Drake, who is Ms. Movie Phone.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. This can't be good.
She tweets. It's a little bit of a thread, and I'll just paraphrase, basically that she had such an amazing experience seeing Endgame.
Before we get into it, can I...
That is ridiculous.
Is it mansplaining?
We'll
okay. I'm just... It's Twitter, so I assume it's going to be...
She said she saw lines. It with a great theater full of people. Everyone was on the same team. We were all fixated on the captivating story, slapping each other's backs. The man next to me offered me tissues before I was even crying, she said. She says it was just amazing, inspired, and just an amazing triumph of film, right? That's all she says. And she's like, oh, fuck, I'm crying again. And what a rare event this was, this movie and this experience. And then this man tweets, you know what would be really cool? Not giving takes on a movie that was just released.
She didn't spoil anything. She said she liked the fucking movie.
So then this guy's like, what the heck? She didn't spoil anything. It was just her experience. And he says, well, now I have the expectation that the movie is going to move me emotionally and that they didn't fuck it up. How you feel about something is just as much a spoiler as saying who dies.
No. No, it isn't.
Oh, honey.
No.
Ooh.
No.
No.
Somebody else is like, didn't you expect that it would be pretty good? And the guy's like, I prefer to find out for myself rather than be told what my experience will be.
Did anybody just go and be like, why are you being a bitch?
And then he's like,
I should get on Twitter and do that.
I never would have posted a reply if somebody would have warned me I'd get such an emotional, caustic, and violent reaction. And I'm like, good.
No, you should have known fucking better than to fucking
this guy's very
pop off.
I never would have said something incredibly stupid if I've known people were going to notice.
He's very easily swayed, huh?
Yeah. That is the dumbest response.
Does he think Gullible's not in the dictionary either?
Someone's enjoyment or lack of enjoyment in a film, and that's all they say, is not a spoiler.
I'm gonna help you feel better about this.
I want this man to have violent diarrhea.
This is a person who is
just a sad, lonely bitch.
Yeah.
who gets pissed off about every single thing that anyone says about anything, anywhere, and always has something to fucking say about it. I hope that for days people just are like tweeting at him, "Are you still stupid today?" And just makes him feel horrible because that was dumb what you did, sir.
It's upsetting.
I can't deal with these people who like just whatever happens, they're just pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Like,
also, he chose to follow Gray.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to hear what you have to say.
She constantly tweets about the movies she's seen and says, "I enjoyed that." So get out of there, bro.
Did you look at any of his other tweets? Is he like a notorious dummy?
Oh, I don't care.
Should he be on 4chan or something?
I have no time or patience. I have time. I have no patience.
You're like, I have time, but I'm not going to spend it on you.
Is he like, how dare you call me dumb? I didn't know I was dumb until you told me.
Exactly.
I thought I was smart, and then somebody else said I was dumb.
Wow, people are... I wouldn't have posted it if I'd known people were going to disagree and not back me up on this. Go fuck yourself. Someone, please... I don't want to go on Twitter, but someone go on Twitter and say, at KellyNOTOP thinks you're a fucking waste of atoms and molecules, and just climb under the floorboards and go to sleep.
What do you think? Like, going out to dinner with him is like, whoa, these fries are good. Oh,
I haven't had one yet.
Just
somebody should try that out for myself.
Somebody should just spam him with pictures of comic book guy over and over and over and over and over.
Do you think he's like world's greatest grandpa? Sure.
I wanted my check 20 minutes ago.
Worst spoilers ever.
Does he not like weathermen either or something? I want to find out how the weather is myself.
Does he ever watch trailers? Like, do you go to the movies and watch the trailers before the movie? And then you're mad that they showed you that?
Does he ignore warning labels too?
Look, he drinks poison every day.
On my way to work or anywhere, I never ask for directions. I just drive.
I want to discover for myself how to get there.
How dare you tell me to buckle my seatbelt? I didn't know I would die in a car accident. I want to find out myself.
I have just never heard a dumber...
No, you're right. That was literally response. The dumbest thing. Listeners, if you want us to rip on you like that, just say something dumb on Twitter and at us.
Yeah, at me. We'll fucking tear into you.
We still do that sometimes.
Yeah.
If you say something real
dumb. Well, see, I got a little testy about spoilers today.
I've got a little testy, too.
No, you don't.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
They're perfectly average size.
One of them's real small. The third one's way smaller.
I wanted to find out that you had small testes on my own.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have said spoiler alert.
You spoiled your balls.
My balls came pre-spoiled. Spoiled
balls. Oh, these balls. Balls are spoiled. Someone turned them to Kroger.
They're like pickled eggs.
Oh.
Like, okay. So, I understand that I can't complain if I'm on the internet and I see a spoiler for something. And I'm not really complaining, but I'm more asking this question in a complaining voice. Okay?
That's just your voice, baby.
Oh. Like.
Oh, God. I'm sorry about that.
Kelly, what are you pointing at?
Real sorry about that one, too.
The Amity Island Beach Close sign.
Yeah.
Had you never noticed that?
I don't think so.
It was a gift from my mommy's boyfriend.
That's very exciting to me.
Nice? I love it.
Okay. So, Endgame came out on Thursday. I'm on Twitter every day. And I have seen...
Well.
I know.
Well, there's your problem.
Fancy.
I know. I have seen no spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's... If they're like, there are spoilers contained for Endgame and we have a thing we want to talk about, click here. I've seen no spoiler for Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
But literally from the first minute Game of Thrones was on last night through today, it is a nonstop flood of fucking spoilers. And what I don't understand is that's not normal for Game of Thrones 1, because I always watch it the next day. I don't like to stay up late on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never had this problem before. And then all of a sudden, I mean, literally people who I trust and believe in.
Better trust and believe them.
Did not shut the fuck up. Everywhere. Like, there are spoilers.
Like Superman?
What is that?
I don't know. Call him out.
Hasn't he been 24 hours yet?
He's Spider-Man a minute now?
Well, I'll tell you. He did.
Spider-Man's the Night King.
I know. What? What?
Yeah. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
What a crossover.
And I understand that I am complaining about something that is, I guess, my fault.
No.
Don't victim blame yourself.
What I was going to say was...
I'm just annoyed.
There does seem to be, like, the spoiler-friendly... Like, I feel like anytime this happens, there's, like, an event thing, and then everyone loses their goddamn shit about spoilers. Rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole group of other people that come back and they're like, the experience is still, it's still a good, why do you have to, and they get very mad, and mm-hmm. I feel like they don't have a right to be mad. So I guess I am calling people, like, I've tried not to call people out anymore on Facebook, just in a general way, but I'm going to do it to you listeners. If you're on the side,
just calling you out, guys,
if you're on the side of, spoilers shouldn't matter, and the experience is the same. And
all spoilers matter.
You're on the wrong side of that argument, and I need you to take 4 steps back towards it so you're on the right side.
I also think the experience is different for everyone. Some people think spoilers enhance their experience because they're like, "Oh, now I know what to look for."
Yeah.
But those people aren't me.
No, and if they, I mean, if you, here's the thing: if you want spoilers, you can go out and find them and click on things that say spoiler.
It's the unwanted and unwelcome spoiler.
It's non-consensual spoilage.
Yeah,
that.
I just thought we'd all give each other fucking 24 hours. Like, my mom was over last night, and she was
only 24 hours.
And this, and like I said, this has never been my issue before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've never experienced an immediate flood of spoilers on my Twitter feed.
Now, was a spoiler obvious? Like, so and so did this.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's pretty obvious.
Oh, people were posting screenshots and everything of stuff that spoiled moments from the show, and like,
I didn't know we had all agreed we were gonna watch it live every Sunday night.
Did you yell
it
at anybody?
It is 2019. Nobody does that. You're a fucking nerd if you do that.
Did you yell at anybody?
What? Did you watch it live?
Oh, go to Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
I didn't watch. I was like maybe half hour delay, but I watched it.
Did you yell at anybody?
No, I would. I just posted on Twitter that I just didn't understand why I've seen no Endgame spoilers, but Game of Thrones was immediately spoiled.
You just did that
today, and I was like, what makes one more sacred? Like, I don't understand.
Has anyone responded to you?
Some people have liked it, and somebody else kind of commented, like, why are these people being jerks?
But none of the spoilers have responded.
No, nobody said anything like, well, you shouldn't have been on the internet, which I kind of understand.
I would love to tell you if somebody replied to that, but you're gonna have to read Twitter to find out.
Spoiler alert.
I don't want to flavor your experience.
I don't know, man. You guys are getting me all worked up.
I live by the rule.
I hate Twitter.
I do too.
Like, yeah, I almost want to give somebody a week. Okay? 24 hours at the very least for
some people
that just
yell at you for spoiling the Devil's Reign.
Yeah? Did somebody say that?
No, I'm just saying there's some people who are like, I've never seen Apocalypse Now. I didn't know how it ended. And I, you know, the thing is, I'll try to respect that.
What, a fucking house fell on the witch?
I mean, as far as like shit like that, I, you know, I'll talk about it open, but if I'm like, have you seen that movie? If it's a one-on-one, and if they're like, mm-hmm. no, I haven't, then I won't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Even that, even if it's like a fucking 1,000 years old and everyone's seemingly seen it.
Yeah.
Jesus, you guys. Don't spoil Amy's shows.
Thank you. I'm working on Star Trek The Next Generation. I'm parceling out the last few eps. Don't spoil it for me.
And if you want to argue with me about this...
Is that a big discussion point on Twitter?
I'm also working on Taxi. Don't spoil it for me.
Oh my gosh. Andy Kaufman?
Is it
Vodka.
Oh.
Is Taxi
Andy's
trending?
Tony... what was his other character?
Tony Montana?
Tony Clifton.
That's Scarface.
Yeah. He hasn't turned up yet, so I did just spoil something for
Amy. I know there are people saying, well, Amy, you shouldn't have been on the internet.
Who is saying that?
There are people who are saying that, and I'm not disagreeing with you, and I should learn to use the mute feature on Twitter, but I haven't really, unless I'm muting just straight up people. I haven't learned how to do phrases and stuff. I'll figure it out one of these days. It has never been a problem for me. 24 hours has always been fine.
I need you to forward me those people.
All right.
Because
in the mail, put them in actual envelopes, lick them.
Oh, he's going all leaving on you.
I have not been this worked up.
I just thought I had curated a healthy Twitter feed.
You should be allowed to go on the internet,
mm-hmm.
That's what you're, what they're telling you is wrong.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be, shouldn't go on the internet. You shouldn't fucking go on the internet and tell people not to go on the internet and spoil everything. God damn you. Yeah. God damn you straight to a watery grave. Do? How dare you?
I'm gonna spoil Endgame. You ready? Fucking Captain America is in it. Eat shit.
Yeah, he eats shit. That's the spoiler.
He eats shit in the movie.
You gave away the shit-eating scene. I think we should move on because that was pretty big.
You know what else happens in the movie?
Peter Parker sucks his own dick.
Don't tell me not to get on the internet or I'll get spoiled. Shut your fucking spoiling mouth. How hard is that? How fucking hard is it to shut your goddamn mouth?
Maybe you don't have people in your life you can talk to about it, but it's like, I'm sorry.
Tough shit. Don't talk to the world about it. Shut up.
How hard is it to get a few fucking pictures of Spider-Man?
Sorry, Mr. Jameson.
Ugh. I don't know. I'm normally not a big person that... I'm not a big person.
I'm not a big person.
I'm a little girl. But like, I normally don't give a shit about spoilers. It usually doesn't bother me. I definitely did not want to be spoiled about Endgame. And I got myself to the theater, you know. Friday, so it had been out for a day, but I thought people would be cool. We all knew, just be cool, and everybody's been cool about the movie but not the show.
Yeah, I don't understand. And I'm
gonna fucking burn no
one
down.
No one on my social media does that, thank God. I can tell you I would flip my goddamn shit if they did.
Yeah,
even if I didn't care.
Yeah.
But I had Infinity War spoiled for me twice by the same person.
It was probably me.
No.
Was it your neighbor?
I think it was me.
It was your neighbor.
And like a good neighbor, Spider-Man's dead.
If you're listening, buddy, I'm not picking on you. I just...
See, and Infinity War came out last year. I feel okay for saying you're allowed to spoil.
I love that story, though.
So, were you surprised by the spoiler? Were you like,
yeah.
I did not see that coming.
But the minute my eyeballs saw... what they saw, I kind of, they slid away. So I don't know what I really...
Ooh, right off your face, huh?
Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was multiple things. I don't know. CNN even had a thing. God damn it. Shut up, CNN. Anyway, we'll move on. Freddie, you had a story.
Yeah. My story's going to sound boring now. After dinner, I decided to come home alone because I like to be alone.
After dinner on Saturday night, because I went and saw Patton Oswalt with my friend Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Great show. Thank you.
And my new Insta buddy, Cole.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. We had a great time, him and I.
Yeah. You guys were chatting it up.
Yeah. Anyway.
Kept him out of my hair.
You know?
I did. I got your nose with Cole. We were joking because he's too old for all that stuff. So
yeah.
We played baby games at dinner.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. I bet Peek-a-boo. He loved that.
All that.
Patty cake.
Peek-a-boo. Got your nose. 10 little piggies. He has 11.
throw up in the air.
Yeah, I threw him in the air. Finished his macaroni. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I called a Lyft because I was coming home. And my picture of my Lyft driver comes up. You know, you can look and make sure you got the right guy. And he's got teardrop tattoos on one side and a big anchor on the other.
Under his eye.
Under his eyes.
What does an anchor mean?
An anchor, like a boat anchor.
I know, but symbolically, what's it mean?
I'll get to that.
It means he was thrown off a boat at one point and survived.
I said he had to kill a sailor in a nautical-themed gang initiation was my original impression of what was going on. So I kissed Amy goodbye, possibly for the last time.
Kiss Kelly goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Kiss Kelly goodbye, possibly for the last time. And... yeah, in the car, we start coming home. We start coming up the hill of this real long road that we live off of. And about halfway home, maybe about a good 4 or 5 miles from the house. And he pulls into this is like the worst neighborhood around here. Like he pulls into this parking lot of this little daycare center over there.
Oh, yeah. The under the sea?
No, it's a different one. I'll tell you after the
show. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And
it must be hidden.
It's bad. It's real hidden. He pulls off in the lot and in his body language, it's getting dark and it's been raining and everything. His whole body language kind of deflates in the front seat. And I'm like, oh, he is going to kill me.
You're like there. He's just made the decision.
Yeah.
I can see it. The slump of his shoulders means I have to do this.
I have to do this again.
Were you looking for the door handle and the lock, see if it's actually there?
Yeah, I mean, all that seemed to be in place, and he's like, my car just died. And I'm like, oh.
Just like you.
Now you die. It's never happened to me before. I'm like, oh, now I feel bad, you know, for the guy. So there's no option in Lyft like, hey, I'm stranded because your driver's car died and it's raining and he looks dangerous. Yeah. But, so it turns out if you're a passenger, you can let someone else use your AAA towing. So we got him towed, but they're like, it's going to be 90 minutes because of the weather. It's real bad. We have a lot of calls.
Did you have to wait around?
No, luckily my sister picked me up.
But I
oh yeah, I was supposed to wait. You mean to prove? Yeah. But they I was like, hey, look, I just want to help this guy out. If you can do it, I'd rather not just leave him here with no way of getting his car anywhere. And they were cool.
Good.
So AAA, I recommend.
Nice.
So I made it home.
But I'm a member.
It has its privileges.
They help me out.
Yeah, I love it.
Is this a commercial?
Mm-hmm. AAA is awesome.
Gave him our leftovers.
Oh, I gave him some. I felt bad because he couldn't work.
Freddie made him a care package.
He couldn't work the rest of the night because his car broke down.
You want him a teddy bear?
So he was out money. Yeah. And then we started dating, and that's our meet cute. So we chit chatted for a while in the rain.
Were you like, yeah. So
tell us about the anchor.
What's that about?
Yeah, I did. I said, so what's the anchor for? And he says, it stands for resilience.
Oh.
And I was like, that's appropriate in this situation.
I'm not sure. You, good for you. I'm not sure I would have.
Asked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had nothing else to do.
No, I get you. I still probably wouldn't have.
So I'm like, what's the knife for?
So did he actually take your leftovers?
Yeah, I left him for. I mean, I was like, I said, I'm not going to eat these. Yeah. Do you want them?
They were roasted shallot mashed potatoes.
But I couldn't taste any shallots in those things. Right. I think they screwed us.
That's a trusting individual.
Yeah. That restaurant was only okay for me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it was way overpriced for what we got.
We should have just gone to the precinct.
We'll go to precinct next time.
Or Ruby's across the street. We went to the Prime Cincinnati if you're in Cincinnati. Don't go there.
Don't go there.
Don't
go there, Andy. Have you been there?
I never even heard of it.
It's a good reason. It's okay. The service was fantastic, but the food is way overpriced and not worth
it. I paid like $100 for my steak, and it wasn't even one of the better steaks I've had.
Yeah,
this is like this kind of place you go once a year, and it's not that good.
No,
we heard we should have gone to Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's what our therapist.
We didn't know.
Go to Soto,
Mario Soto.
Hmm.
Anyway,
he was a pitcher for the Reds.
Freddie lived.
I did.
Freddie's here.
He made alive. A friend. Starting a hardcore band together.
And he got a refund. He almost didn't want to ask for a refund.
I was worried he wouldn't get paid for the ride. I don't know. Do they take that from the driver when their car breaks down? Because that's shitty.
I mean, the whole employment situation with Lyft and Uber and all the gig economy isn't great.
Lyft's better than Uber.
I disagree.
Oh, really? Well, we can get into this on our Lyft v. Uber episode.
I think we need to go back to the therapist.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you want to go to the therapist with us guys?
Only if we're taking an Uber.
Yeah. All right. Anything else before we move on? My goodness.
No.
That sounds like you're building to something.
Spider-Man is the Night King. All right.
I'm not. I just wanted to tease you guys.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
We're back.
Muscles. we
did a very long conversation about steak, and then Freddie passed gas. Yes.
This entire studio smells like shit now. Because of my to die for muscles.
All right, hurry up.
You sound like Ms. Schnur from Bobby Burgers.
I'm
going to
kill you.
Oh, you kids. Big legend.
Big legend.
This is I could call it Dull Predator.
Oh, no.
They say off the grid a lot in the beginning of this. Like the first 10 minutes of the movie are a couple flirting in the woods. Mm-hmm. Then you get a little backstory that maybe this guy used to be some sort of special ops person.
Oh,
and
boy.
She didn't know if he was going to come home alive or not. She was tired of waiting to see if he'd come back alive, so he proposes to her.
And then Bigfoot comes in the clearing and jerks off on him?
You're close.
He takes her away from him. Like, he wins her over, right?
He wins her over.
Bigfoot steals his girl through charm. And
it was a bet between me and the other Bigfoots, but then I really fell in love.
Ooh, it does smell in here. Okay.
Yeah, it's my ass. 15 minutes in, Bigfoot kidnaps her, and you get like the I big said. Legend title card. Yep.
It's a rom-com.
Like they always do. Mm-hmm. All those women that you hear about Bigfoot's running off with.
Yeah.
Did he like throw her over his shoulder?
Oh, you don't really see. It's real dark.
And she's like kicking. Like,
are you sure it wasn't Captain Caveman?
It might have been. Captain
Caveman. Seems like something he would do.
She says,
that scamp.
There's a knocking sound, and the guy's like, tents don't have doors. You can't knock in the woods.
And she's like, you know what? I knew that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's maybe it's something sleep. Else.
It's like when you say it back to me, it's funny. You're right.
Yeah.
I am a dummy.
Bing bong.
Is that Bigfoot? I think Bigfoot just rang our doorbell.
Bigfoot never rings. He just
tents don't have doorbells.
But snakes don't eat people. 12 months later. That's your next title card.
Oh.
Our hero is trying to convince his therapist, played by Amanda Wiss from A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, that his fiance married a Bigfoot.
He's like, okay. You remember? Have you ever seen Fright Night 2? Where in the beginning, the character from the first one, his therapy, he finally convinces his therapist, yeah, vampires aren't real. I just hallucinated this stuff. It's kind of the conversation this guy's having.
I actually have never seen Fright Night 2.
It's really good.
Same cast.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's very good.
Nice.
It's one of the better sequels.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. I haven't seen the new Fright Night 2.
He just spoiled it for me.
He spoiled it.
Yeah. And it was good. It was pretty good. But this is the one from the 80s.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, this scene's kind of
William Ragsdale.
Yeah. Yeah. And Roddy McDowell. So he's like, it was just a bear attack. And she's like, okay, I guess I'll let you out then. Then you meet his mom, played by Adrienne Barbeau.
Oh, Adrienne Barbeau! Shit!
Who's a great actor. They give these people, the dialogue is just, this writer should be writing prose and not film. It doesn't work.
Oh, in a film. Too wordy.
Way wordy, like a lot of attempts to make characters sound either wise or clever or funny or whatever, and it doesn't come off. And this whole scene with our,
well, you have to be those things to make people sound like those things,
right? Yeah, well, you could be, you don't know.
No,
we don't know him.
I guess
Adrienne Barbeau convinces her son, you're not just gonna give up, are you? You gotta go back out in the woods and find her.
A year later.
Yeah.
Did anybody call the police?
I don't know.
He just went home, but I guess my wife's gone.
This is what bothers me sometimes about movies. When people are like, Kelly just likes things spelled out for him. When I say, like, I need things to sort of be real, you call police, and then the police would do this big search.
You know, they may have mentioned that in some of the way overdone dialogue. They might have said the police never found anything.
It'd probably be on the local news, like, we need your help searching. There would be four different podcasts about the including one where some weird cryptozoology person theorized that Bigfoot maybe came and took her away. So that's just you gotta go back and find her a year later.
Susan Plimpton, and you're listening to Gone in the Northwest.
I'm Phoebe, whatever that lady's last name is.
I'm Phoebe Cates.
Not that one.
I'm going to step out of your swimming pool and show you my boobs.
And then we're going to talk about Bigfoot.
And then we're going to talk about Bigfoot.
Well, remember
what Blue Apron
Freddie said about whatever movie we were talking about. Oh, The Curse of La Llorona.
Yeah.
It's make-believe, but you got to make me believe.
Yeah, sure. You got to make me believe. And this movie also doesn't make me believe. Although, I mean, like, it plays it so super safe. It doesn't have... Okay, deep breath. Okay, about 36 minutes in, so you're about to get into like the second act territory. A new character turns up out in the woods, because of course he went into the woods to find his missing wife.
He's like, fiance. I guess I should go find your mom.
I guess I'll go.
Good idea.
She's like, the boy I know wouldn't give up on his eaten fiance. A new character turns up who's this hunter, who I guess is supposed to be this salt of the earth, fun, wisecracking character. who is helping him find his wife. I don't know. It doesn't play very well. The dialogue in these particular sequences is really, really clunky.
Yeah.
These two talking to each other. It's like, it's no Hooper and Quint.
No Hooper and Quint. I was half-ass hoping this would be good because, you know, I like Bigfoot. But
I'd be interested to hear your take on
it. I also...
Do you like being bored?
Didn't think it was going to be.
Yeah.
Now, I thought you knew me.
You think you know me? Wasn't that Triple H's theme in the WWE? Was it, you think you know me?
It was.
Or was it so Jericho? Vain. Somebody.
That sounds like a Real Housewife intro or something.
I'm here to find Bigfoot and sell wine.
Rosé.
Okay, about 49 minutes in, they find the charnel pit of Bigfoot where all the bones are of all the people he's eaten.
Well, have you seen Bigfoot yet?
Does Bigfoot kind of? Callie, does Bigfoot eat people?
I don't know. No, definitely doesn't not.
Eat people. No, I don't think that's part of the legend.
Mm-mm. He seems like a vegetarian, right?
Well, I don't know about that, but he doesn't eat people. It doesn't eat people.
This one they don't eat may people. Eat people. I don't know.
They might kill people. I don't know. But
maybe he killed people. Maybe they don't eat maybe people. Didn't, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't even know if they're real, but they definitely probably don't eat people.
All right. So a little over an hour into this movie, there's a confrontation with Bigfoot.
He got. I went out on my lawn and that Bigfoot was out there. He just letting his dog shit all over my lawn. And then I went out there and I tried to be polite. And then the neighbors called the police on us and we were cited for some kind of confrontation.
Normally I hate confrontation, but I wasn't going to take that Bigfoot's dog shit anymore.
Neighbors called a cop.
So there's a propane tank in the scene. I don't remember why.
Hank Hill was there.
Yeah. And of course, the hero
shoots. He just walked in and set it down and walked back out.
He shoots the propane tank. And
like Jaws.
Yeah, but then he says, "Burn, you son of a bitch," and shoots it again and explodes Bigfoot.
I hate this. Before you said that part,
yeah.
Before you said that part, I was just like, I probably don't need to watch this.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Now I'm actively angry that someone was like, you know what people are going to love? I'm going to rip off Jaws.
It was almost... it's terrible.
I'm going to rip off Jaws, and people are going to love it. They're not going to think it's corny at all. They're not going to think it's stupid. They are going to be like, yes, I love Jaws, and I love Bigfoot. See, I love Jaws, and I love Bigfoot, and I hate this.
Yeah, as you should, because you love those other things.
Yeah.
Okay, about an hour or 24 in.
Oh, gosh.
Our hero...
That should not have gone that far.
He wakes up in the hospital, and there's this nurse, and then there's Lance Henriksen.
He's in so many Bigfoot movies.
He needs money.
I think he just...
That buys cigarettes.
Yeah. He's in everything. They just trot Lance.
He's been in other Bigfoot movies?
Well, yeah, he was in this
movie.
He's
the Night King!
He's in this movie.
He's Spider-Man? I think
it's called Snow Creature. He might have actually been in two yeah. Yeti movies. He's been in at least one.
Yeah.
He may have been in two. And they might be almost identical movies, or they might just be the same movie. But I can't remember now. But I just feel like they trot him out like whenever they need some kind of star. He's like,
if you give me... Two coins and I'll be in your movie for 30 seconds.
And he always wears the same black t-shirt, blue denim shirt.
You said this before. Yes.
He was in a suit in this.
Oh, no.
Because it's important he's in a suit because he and the nurse that are taking care of our hero, Jack Laird, is his name, by the way.
Are getting it on.
He says, "We are part of a team, Mr. Laird." That's not a good Lance Henriksen, but that's what he says.
Is he Nick Fury?
That was, yes, they tried to do an Avengers Nick Fury thing with it, and then it cuts to the credits and says, Jack Laird will return in the Monster Chronicles. Mr. Zero Charisma will be back in a whole nother monster movie.
I
bore you to death.
All right, now I understand what happened. Can I explain what happened? This is the movie version. There are so many shitty... And listen, I'm sorry. You guys are going to be like, you don't have to be mean that way. There are so many shitty authors on Kindle, and they all want to do a monster series. They all are doing Monster Hunter things. There are so man, I
so and it's all this thing where they want it to be like this. Stop. And this person was like, I don't want to write a book. I'm gonna make a movie.
And I don't want to write a movie. I want to write a setup for another movie that I'll probably never make.
Kelly, can you just say that again? Book.
I don't want a book. I don't want no book. I want my
book. I just... Christ, Jesus. This just...
Christ, Jesus.
This has really fucking continued my... you guys just lit me up tonight. I'm just lit up.
I will tell you...
Lit up like a Bandersnatch.
The problem with this movie was the dialogue and the story.
And the movie.
And the characters and the cliched setups. But it was like...
The directing and the
It looked like music. A movie, Kelly, and it had a three-act structure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, at least you could say that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did they show Bigfoot?
Kinda.
What's he look like? Is he a good Bigfoot?
It looks like the Patterson-Gimlin tape Bigfoot.
Oh. The scariest of Bigfoots to put in your horror movie. Yeah. Patty from the Patterson-Gimlin film, shuffling along at a reasonable rate, looking over her shoulder casually. That is the Bigfoot I'm terrified of.
Did I tell you that Horror Hound Weekend, the indie show, they're expanding? Not only is there going to be
Mask Fest. Oh, I know all about it.
You know about the whole cryptid shit?
It's fake or fiction.
It's going to be awesome.
Or fiction or fact or fiction. Yeah. I'm super duper in.
Oh, me cool. too. Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
Going to have its own room.
Mm-hmm.
So listeners, cool. if you want to see me buy a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I actually probably won't buy that much stuff.
Yeah. In you want to watch him walk around with a big old boner.
Did you get your hotel yet?
Yes, we're in the Westin.
Nice. Is that where we are, Amy? I can't remember. Yep.
Horrorhound Weekend. It's in September. Horrorhoundweekend.com.
I've let everyone know where we're going to be.
Yes.
And when we're going to be so there. So, yeah.
Freddie, you don't recommend this?
Nah.
Nah, bro.
Nah.
All right. Well, I have in my cold dead hand a movie gun with a movie bullet. Here you go. I'm up first.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I'm movie dead. And I am.
Wow, that was fast. You know, sometimes life just goes right by like that.
Life is like a box of chocolate. Okay, here's the movie I've chosen for myself. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called The Snarling.
I'm sorry, what?
The Snarling.
One more time.
Snarling?
Oh, boy.
That's my favorite 80s cartoon.
Kill your snarlings.
Get ready for this run-on sentence. In a rural village, the cast and crew of a horror film find themselves accused of a rash savage murders when the cursed movie they are making is connected by police to several gruesome slayings seemingly committed by some sort of monster. While the locals interfere in the production for their own gain and detectives try to pin the deaths on the filmmakers, the body count grows.
Can I ask another question?
I mean, you sure can.
Why do all these like super low budget, like dinky donkey fucking movie? Why is it always about a horror movie being made and then a horror movie happening for real?
Do you want me to tell you why?
I know why. Yes.
It's in case a boom accidentally falls into the shot.
Is that true?
I don't know.
Oh.
Stands to reason though, doesn't it? It sounds true.
Yeah, it does. They're like, we'll get into the story.
It'll be like making a behind the scenes of a film without having to do the work of making a film. I don't know why I said it in that voice.
I'll bring you a review.
It's Judd Hirsch. What? I've been watching Superior Donuts.
And is Taxi. Judd Hirsch there?
Yeah, he's the star of it.
God, he's 1,000 years old.
He is 1,000 years old.
The Snarling review. Excuse me, I had to burp.
I did twice earlier, right into the microphone.
Coming up in a couple weeks. Okay, are we ready to move on?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
This week's main attraction is from 2002, The Ring, a reimagining of the Japanese Ringu film based on the novel.
Are we having a conference? Like, are we having some clients in?
What are you talking about?
Oh, this water bottle.
There was just an unopened water bottle.
Oh.
I just, every time I see it, like,
if there was a little pad sitting next to it with like a Marriott pen, then you'd be at a conference. Yeah, we should.
Be like, please help yourself.
The Ring.
The original novel by Koji Suzuki.
Which I read.
Mm-hmm. Which wasn't very great.
It was okay. It had a vastly different storyline for the Samara character. Like, vastly different.
Hey, Amy, did you know that Not all videotapes are cursed, but some are. Do you ever smell mothballs, Amy?
Yes.
How'd you get their little legs apart?
I like... Freddy! I like... Listeners, I'm not laughing uproariously because that wasn't funny. I heard this one earlier.
Just told it, and it 2 minutes ago.
It did crack our shit up. So it's not that
the second joke, not the first.
You're laughing right now and wondering why we're not just like losing our minds is because we already did.
Did you tell the mothball joke to cover up the Samara one?
To cover up the smell of a fart.
I like the Samara one. You know, I don't know anything about the source material. Spoilers as usual.
Of course.
In case you're a new listener, we spoil every main feature.
And every roulette movie we hate.
Yeah. And if you have not seen The Ring and you're like, I'm going to go see The Ring, pause this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love... What I like about The Ring is kind of having to piece together, like, you're not really given exactly, like, you're not given, like, a list of things that created her, but you're given, like, this idea about some kind of, like, possible magic to get pregnant and very, very grandma, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. very much like Stephen King's grandma. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the people who worked on it kind of brought that from that.
I thought she was adopted.
Yeah, but then don't you remember they find the certificate of live birth?
Do you remember that? I just watched this Saturday.
When they break into the
the
records, was there a certificate of live birth?
Yeah, they find her birth certificate.
No, I don't remember.
I don't think it was the mother's, though, the one that adopted her.
No?
Ooh, now we should just stop and rewatch the whole film. And
because
come back.
The way I always took it, and maybe you're right, but there is like a thing about they were saying she was never supposed to get pregnant, and then they go
my
off.
My wife was never supposed to have a child.
Yeah.
And then they go off, and then she comes back. Either did she come back pregnant,
or no,
did
she come back just with
the
kid?
Yeah, I thought that was her. They found the birth certificate, but the guy was her birth mother's, right?
I don't know, but anyway, hints and allegations.
I love the setup.
Yes.
The first act of this movie is so damn spooky, and I think it holds up super well.
If you remember, like, seeing it in the theater for the first time, and that scene with Amber Tamblyn's face falling off.
Yeah.
That scene reminded me a lot of Hereditary.
Yeah.
That scene, you know what I'm seeing, I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. You know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's just that the setup was very similar, where they just tell the story of what happened, and they cut to it.
Yeah,
and you're shocked by it. That you're like,
yeah. What's so great about that too? I think is because when they do that, when the director's like, "Hey, I'm going to protect you from this horrible thing that happened. I'm only going to tell it to you," and they're like, "Nope, just kidding. Yeah. You got to see it too." And you're like, "Ah, fuck!"
But you're not prepared to actually what you actually see because it's a lot worse than what you thought it was going to be.
It's like it's like a fun trick. Because it's like you said, you think they're going to spare you the worst, and then they're like, just kidding!
Right. And you don't have the, it's also what makes it an extra effective jump type of scare, is you're not building even tension to the point where you would for any other type of jump scare, where you're going to build all this tension, and then you're going to release with this moment, shocking moment.
These is a jump scare, but it's not like a cheap jump scare like you see in more current horror movies.
Also, it easily could have been her coming up the stairs and finding her daughter, and that would have been less effective.
It's not like what they do now where there's like cues, sound cues, like bam,
right?
And they show the scary thing. They just show you the scary thing, and that's it. They don't need to like build it up to it.
What I think is great about that too is like, while this is clearly an American movie and it's, you know, Gore Verbinski has a very American style, I think there are a lot of nods to sort of the source films, where that's kind of a J-horror thing, is to just do things quietly and show things.
Yeah.
You know, that I felt like that scene particularly was very much reminiscent of, you know.
Yeah, but she's like surrounded by all these friends and family telling... It feels like safe environment too, right?
Not that part of the scene. I mean, when they actually show Amber Tamblyn.
Yeah, that's same scene. Yeah. So like, what I mean is like the mother is at the funeral, the after funeral party, remembrance, whatever you want to call it, and it feels like we have moved on,
right?
beyond the initial sequence of scares, and we're getting into the mystery solving portion, and it feels, it's a very safe kind of expository scene. It does, it's not like the kind of scene where you are building to a scare and then they're just having, I found her, boom, you're back in that, the worst part of the opening sequence.
But I just love how it, how horrific it is,
because
it shows you what the stakes are, and what's going to happen to you if you don't find the solution to, you know, what's going to happen to
your problem.
Oh yeah, the obviously I think everybody's seen this movie and knows the legend, but if not, it's the tape, it's cursed tape. You watch it, so the phone rings, you hear someone say 7 days and you die. And something I never knew was that some people interpret the title as the ringing of a telephone.
Oh, nope.
It's the ring of the well that's...
Well, here's the thing. What's funny actually about that is I think it's kind of one of those clever things where it all, like, it's, it ties into a number of things. Yeah.
Like the author of the novel says it stands for the cyclic nature of having to show the tape to other people to survive.
Mm-hmm.
In the film, the visual ring, the actual circle, and then they make it about the well.
Right.
So then that's part of it. And then the ringing of the telephone. I never thought of the ringing of the telephone.
I hadn't until you just said that. You know, I did not see this at the theater. I saw this in my bedroom alone.
How did it go?
That was great.
Were you scared?
It's really spooky.
Yeah,
it's a scary-ass movie.
If you're not like in your living room at night and all the lights are off, but you had to run and get something in the kitchen and you have to go back to bed.
Yeah.
And if you don't pause for a minute and like stare at the TV with fear and horror in your heart, then you're just not alive, man. It's
super spooky. I love this movie. And I back to the, like, again, obviously I don't know the source material, but like the idea of like what her, I don't want to say powers, but her thing of transferring whatever's in her head onto like film and thing, that's awesome.
It's kind of unique.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you also notice like, did you feel that like we've seen so many J-horror imitations and even bad J-horror itself in the interim since this movie came out, that I thought we were going to revisit this and I was going to be like, I can't believe I thought this was scary.
That it would be diluted in some
I
way.
Thought it would be diluted, but it is still super effective. Which shocked the hell out of me because
I worry that like
17 years ago.
Like a dumb teenager will watch it now and be like, duh, it was fucking scary.
Well, I think part of it that I sent you guys a link to this artist that they based a lot of the look of the film from is Andrew Wyeth.
Oh, yeah.
His paintings really aren't, they're not horror paintings, but they are, especially when you look at them through the lens of, if you imagine them being in the world of this movie,
right?
They're all very unsettling in a way. They feel like moments from the tape.
Right.
So now I'm an Andrew Wyeth fan because of that. Cause his paintings are super eerie.
One thing you
better go call him.
Yeah.
And they seem so innocent.
One thing I picked up on this time around, I don't know that I ever really noticed as much, is that, Naomi Watts, her character is the noticer. She has a superpower. She'll just be like looking around and just be like boom and notice something, and it's very important clue.
Well, she's a investigative journalist.
She's
so.
Very detail oriented.
Yeah, and Brian Cox is an electrician.
That scene with the
and her boyfriend is like a fake Brecken Meyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he's a dick.
A little bit.
Just kidding, he's not.
He seemed fine.
He's fine. We talked about it last
time. I always thought of him as a fake Brecken Meyer. The poor man's Brecken
Meyer. He's a very handsome dude, though. He's better looking than Brecken Meyer.
I disagree.
Think so?
No.
Really? Okay. We agree to disagree. Yeah. Naomi Watts is gorgeous, though, right?
She's a very pretty lady.
I love her dimples, and I love her body.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the...
Did you ever see 21 Grams?
Nah.
She's got... You can see her boobies.
He saw 19.
She's got big nipples.
So...
Big
they're like pencil erasers.
The thrust of the film is that Naomi Watts is investigating her niece's death, which leads her to seeing the tape, which leads her to believing in the legend and trying to stop it so she doesn't die. And then her kid ends up watching the tape and he's going to die. And then her ex-boyfriend, fake Brecken Meyer, is going to die and she's trying to stop it, right? And she is very good at her job and uncovers all this you know, all the evidence and kind of realizes what she needs to do is release Samara because she's this poor abused child.
This leads me to my favorite line in the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't supposed to help her.
Yeah.
That was a great fake out moment.
Yeah. So great.
You think the movie's over?
Love yeah. that.
Because the cliche is always yeah. the
that she was an innocent victim of abuse.
And not
she
set just her that, ghost free.
You see all those ghost movies like
yeah.
Stir of Echoes, The Changeling, all of these classic ghost stories are you're being haunted because you need to help this ghost resolve some unresolved business.
Right.
And you think, oh, of course, that's how this is going to wrap up. It's the ghost, the unresolved, they resolve the business, the ghost is at peace. And you're like, oh, wait a minute, the movie's still going for a little bit here, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the scene is she's, you know, waking up in the morning with her son, and he's like, hey, how'd it go? And she's like, we did it. We helped her. Let her out. And he's like, the fuck? No, he didn't say that.
It's eerie the way he sits up and he looks yeah. so. Yeah.
He's like, you did intense. What?
Yeah.
Shit, my. But can I tell you one thing? One, it's not a real issue. And like, if you, I'm not really complaining about this, but it's just like a noticing thing. No, the I'm noticer. The noticer. It is a little like. There's not really a good explanation for why Samara seems to communicate like things to him, but not anybody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like.
Like, how the hell does dreams. He know that? And also, yeah. why didn't he already tell anybody that?
It's because yeah. the way kids are, they make creepy drawings. You know. That's the other thing. They did kind of hint at, on the serious side of what I was going to say, is yes. that she can put images, she's putting images on paper through him.
Oh.
The same way she's putting images on the micro, on the film, on the videotape.
Thank you.
It's her power is how she, that's, yeah. she's communicating those right, images.
Well, you just explained it.
She just used him as a medium.
So now I have no complaints.
But on the other side, you're a parent. Did your kids' teachers ever call you in about a creepy drawing?
No, but I have had, I'm sure I've told this story multiple times on the show, and with respect to Colin, I'm going to tell it again. There was, for a little while, he had these imaginary friends. There was Brownie, and one day yeah. he told me that Brownie killed his family.
I and remember
like,
this.
Brownie's stories kept getting more and more violent, and he seemed a little more real. And we actually did go to the pediatrician. We were like, listen, this is weird. And like, I know the rest of the family just thought it was like, they were just concerned about like psychological issues. But as you know,
Brownie I'm like, lives in my mouth.
I'm like, yeah, that too. But mostly, like I just want to make sure.
Yeah, if this was a movie, there would be a microfiche montage right after this.
Yeah, that's true. You'd be looking for answers.
So not so much scary pictures, but we got some scary imaginary. And like, he would just tell you, he'd be like, Brownie murdered his family or killed his family. I was like.
Do you like Brownie?
What now?
You hang out with this Brownie?
Well, he would talk about him, but like that's the thing. Like I heard about Brownie all the time. Did he and sometimes into, Brownie scared Colin.
Did he go into detail about the murders?
I don't remember, but he was it scared him.
Does Colin remember this?
Maybe.
You should bring it up with him and see if he's like, oh yeah, Brownie's real.
Brownie dead.
Brownie dead. Oh, you really fudged Brownie there. Yeah. Hey, I told Amy that the teacher had to rush Naomi Watts out because she had other appointments about other creepy drawings.
Other creepy drawings.
that is like, this was not the first, right? That they use that trope in. I don't think the kids.
Oh, they do it a million times. They do it in everything.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a kid, there's a creepy drawing like with it's scribbled and it's like somebody standing there with like blood all over them and just teeth.
Yeah.
I don't remember the sequels because I know
used that trope in
they
stories.
Were bad.
Yeah. Huh?
Mm-hmm. I was doing the Donald Trump thing.
Oh.
I don't remember.
I know
the sequels are bad.
Ring 2 was Sissy Spacek.
We
right?
only watched Ring 2 and it was terrible.
I've never seen any of the sequels and
we
I
were
have
so
no
excited
interest.
About that and we were so let down. Yeah. And Rings is oof.
I haven't seen it.
I don't think we haven't watched Rings. And you know what's interesting? There was a short film called Rings. That came out, I think, in between like The Ring and Ring 2 that's also set in the Rings universe. And it's supposed to be pretty good. I've never seen it.
So essentially, Naomi Watts has let Samara free
into our world.
Kind of, yeah. Now she can truly come out of the videotape and out of the TV to kill Martin Henderson. That scene fucked me all the way up and down. Like, I just can't. Well,
up until this, the horror was very subtle. It was more about atmosphere and like, slowly building it. There are nothing like truly horror scenes. And it just built up to this one scene where she crawls out the TV and you're like, oh, fuck, I wasn't ready for this.
Yeah.
I was not ready.
Well, just even seeing her arms come up out of the well was such a chilling moment. And then to have her physically come out, and then you're like, you never see like, oh, she's walking towards the screen. You never think she's going to come through the TV.
That's what's so great about that scene. And I'm sure somebody right now is like, it's so corny, but listen, they never do that. You like, you're like, what's going to happen when she gets like close to, is she going to say something? Is she going to make a face? Is she going to do that thing where they like Rickrolled you with the scary, like, and then she fucking comes out.
Well, here's the thing. You never see what she actually does to you. I guess you're just scared to death, right?
Yeah that's what I've always taken it as.
So, but, like, for her to make your face like that, like, what did she do?
She grapefruits you.
So is she...
But she's real bad at it, too. Not she, only is she grapefruiting
she's
you, but
a child, Freddy.
Truly out now?
Yeah.
She just roaming the
I
streets?
Guess. I mean, the...
Or she go back in the TV?
I guess she goes back in the TV.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Damn, no, I don't think matter. She... Well, maybe this is... Because they make the tape. She makes little
creepy kid
donkey monkey donkey she makes monkey. They make the tape after
my favorite
Breckin Meyer dies, right?
Yeah, they she realizes the only thing that she did different
right
than Breckin Meyer
hope somebody
was,
plays this for Martin.
It's Freckin Meyer.
Freckin Meyer.
Faken Meyer.
Is that she made a tape, so she makes her kid make a tape, but you have to have somebody else watch it.
Yeah, you know, well, they cut something out too. There was a whole subplot with Chris Cooper. Great actor Chris Cooper. They had him in this, and the only reason they cut it, they thought it was too confusing, I think, or actually I think people wanted more of it, but they're like, it takes away from the main storyline. He's a pedophile.
Oh.
And he was convicted, and he's done his time, and he's gone to Naomi Watts' character saying, I want you to run a story about me. I've changed. And but he really hasn't. He's still this like monster.
Make him watch it.
And at the end of the film, he was the bookend of the story where he's in the first act and you're like, okay, she's working. She refuses to.
Does she give him the tape or something?
At the end of the movie, she drops the tape off at his house.
It's a virus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tape is a virus. Samara's
it's
evil
a viral video.
It's the virus.
That's another thing I love about this movie is how nihilistic it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an oppressive movie. Like just the look of it, it's all just grays.
Oh, for
the
sure.
The rain, blues. It's the raining. Constant rain,
and the fact that you know you have to kill somebody else for you to live.
Yeah, and also she, Polly Perrette was in this. Did you notice that she was the?
She's the babysitter.
She was the.
No wait.
No, she was Martin Henderson's student whatever that was coming back at the end.
And she finds she finds his body right.
Right. Yeah. At the end. And I was like, oh, that's Polly Perrette. And also, who else was in the
Who's
beginning?
Who's Polly Perrette?
She was on NCIS with Mark Harmon. She's famous for her blunt bangs and her combat boots.
Oh, the goth girl. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
Adam Brody.
Brody, yeah, that was for a hot another second. One. Like I said, Chris Cooper, but he was cut. But it's just... Rachel Bella, who plays, or not Rachel Bella, that's Becca, but the girl who plays Samara,
Davy Chase,
she
Lilo, yeah,
she was Lilo in Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, nice, yeah, cool,
and that neat.
Mm-hmm. This movie was quite the cultural sensation.
Lilo was kind of dark too,
a little bit.
So there you go,
there you go.
And it definitely spawned a lot of American remakes of Japanese horror stories.
The best of which I think was The First Grudge. I think these
Grudge
two
so
were
good.
I think these two were like the good ones.
Yeah.
And then I think after that it got real watered down, including Dark Water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jennifer Connelly was actually up for this part.
Oh, really?
And I bet you that's why she did Dark Water, is probably after seeing how successful this was.
Gotta get that money.
And then Dark Water didn't do so well.
A wet Japanese movie.
Yeah. I want to do one of those wet Japanese movies. What I really want to do. I'm an actor, but I'd really love to direct or do one of those wet Japanese movies. Yeah, I know you hear it all the time from actors that they want to do a wet Japanese movie. I know it's a cliche at this point.
Does it rain a lot in Japan?
I think maybe certain parts.
It's tropical. Yeah.
It rains. Okay. It's just for sure. They have one.
I don't know if they didn't keep this in the movie, but it was in the trailer, but it was that one quote.
Everyone.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, it wouldn't have played right in the movie. I know, but everyone will suffer.
Yeah.
But I like what they left in. It's ambiguous. If they had left it in the movie, I think the sequences where she's watching the playback, the video of Samara being interviewed by the doctors. And he says, Samara, you don't want to hurt anybody.
But I do.
I could reread as, but I do hurt people and I don't want to. Or it could be, I do want to. But if she says everyone will suffer, it's a little too on the nose.
I just like that quote. Like, everyone will suffer.
Somebody turn on the lights.
But here's the funny thing about Samara. You feel sympathy for her, even though she's out there killing people.
It's so dark when they find her bedroom. And you're seeing it from this other perspective. Like, you don't understand, basically, that she's evil. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, what did these people do to this little girl? And then even after you kind of get the idea that she's something more, you're still like, oh, they just didn't understand her. And they punished her for having this thing that's not her fault. And then it turns out she's a demon. Yeah.
And also when she's telling the story of what the 7 days mean.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, how long she'd live in the well.
And what the ring meant.
Super dark.
That's all she saw was that the sunlight peeking through the big slab.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's there for 7 days and she sees the fingernails on the wall.
Yeah.
It's just, it was reminded me of Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Where you saw the fingernails. You don't need to see what happened.
Exactly.
But it's your mind takes you there and it's just so fucked up.
I love her bedroom. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You do know that she's killed the horses, though. You kind of intuit that before.
Well, she drove them crazy.
When you're still feeling sympathy for her, you understand that she's driven the horses crazy to kill themselves. And I love that scene with the horse getting free on the ferry.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I think it's terribly creepy.
But it's a really effective moment when it goes under and all the people gather to see if it comes out the other side, but it gets chopped up in the propeller.
Yeah.
Ugh, gosh, it's the sequel when they went overboard on the horses.
I don't remember anything.
Too many horses.
I blocked it out to save my brain.
That was BoJack Horseman. Did you know that? That played the horse?
Uncredited, though.
Yeah, it was uncredited.
Well, good for him. He's getting more. Yeah.
Credited as BoJack Horseman. Yeah,
it was BoJack Horseman.
Mr. Bravinsky, you want me to do one? No. Grind up. I can't do it.
So the other thing is her bedroom, that whole the ladder leading up to that loft in the barn.
Yeah.
And the whole setup, he's like, the TV was the babysitter for her thing. And then earlier they do the whole Rear Window reference where Naomi Watts is looking at all of these people in the building across from her, which is this gray, monolithic looking apartment complex.
Right.
Every single one of them is watching TV.
Nice touch, Gore.
And
good on you.
You think people just call him Gore?
Yeah,
I'm sure they do.
What's up, Gore?
Go-go, maybe.
Go-go.
And one of the characters in that scene is in the cast in the wheelchair, in Rear Window.
Go Verbs. I did not notice
that. Isn't that neat? That's a neat thing. I love Gore Verbinski.
They just probably call him Gore Verbinski.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they're going to call him Go Verb.
Go Verb. I said that a second ago.
They call him.
Oh, did you say GoVerb?
Yeah.
They call him GoGurt.
What do you know?
He's so portable.
So yes, The Ring, classic.
Yeah, great pick, Dave.
Other great Gore Verbinski movies. Treat Yourself. Rango.
Fantastic. Great movie.
Pirates, of course.
Of course.
I actually think The Lone Ranger was underrated. I know people shit all over that movie.
We had fun with it. Remember, we saw it.
Yeah, you and me saw it together. Yeah, it was fun. Aww. I haven't seen A Cure for Wellness yet.
Oh yeah, me neither.
But I really want to. I love Mouse Hunt. I think it's an awesome...
You've said that many times.
Yeah, it's another one of those movies that should be kind of a classic.
Yeah, I think Holly likes Mouse Hunt.
Yeah, Mouse Hunt's awesome.
I've just never seen it.
That with Nathan Lane?
Yeah. It's really, really good. Really, I think everything he's done has been good to great. He also... I thought he did Arlington Road. Maybe he Arlington just wrote Road. It.
Yes.
That's a great song.
on Arlington Road. I hate the Gin Blossoms.
Mark Pellington directed
Arlington Road. I kind of enjoy the Gin Blossoms.
I hate them so much. I hated them at the time.
Ah, you know what? It was the screenwriter, Aaron Kruger.
Yes.
He wrote Arlington Road. It wasn't Gore Verbinski that directed it. But that's another good one if you like The Ring.
Aaron Kruger. He's like, hey, Ren.
All right. So at the end of the show, like we always do.
Always.
We say hi to our Beelzebubs.
Always.
We're going to say hi to Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
7 days, Jeff. Use them wisely.
Jimmy B.
Jimmy B, I hope the Cheddar Goblin brings you all the macaroni cheese you can eat.
Jeremy Kazzy and Gamora.
It's a shame what happened to Mandy.
I watched Mandy last night for the first time. It's so good.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, but I want to.
Amanda James.
Amanda Galactus eats planets. Gobble, gobble.
Mandy.
If I don't get my way, Mandy. I'm going to dance around my tiger t-shirt, my tidy whities, and I'm going to drink booze in my colorful bathroom.
Ernest.
Ernie. Won't you listen to my music? It's how I bring you my love.
Tree and Alex.
Is it weird that I'm doing Mandy stuff?
Yeah,
we haven't even talked.
I don't know.
So I'm going to switch gears back to Tree and Alex were never supposed to have baby. And then I'm going to electrocute myself in the bathtub.
Okay. That's Brandon.
Brandon, you're like a beautiful horse that fell off of a ferry and was ground up in its propeller.
At least he's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful steed.
Hey, Bill.
Bill. Hey, Bill. Bill, why don't you and I get together and look at some cursed videotapes?
Blake.
Like, Blake, we could watch the Garbage Pail Kids movie. I taped it off cable.
Whoops.
That is cursed.
It's totally cursed.
Yeah.
Mark, who joined us for our Discord event. We had fun.
We had so much fun with you, Mark. Let's do it again.
And also joined us for our Discord event, Alice.
Yeah, I gotta go pick her up some wings.
Wings!
Wings and rings?
Oh! Kelly. I tried to make a face.
Kelly did the dead ring face.
You have to eat him within 7 days.
What if there's just a chicken wing in your closet? And we'll cut to that real fast. And there's just a chicken wing in the corner. Kelly's doing the ring thing. Oh, here, that's a good lens, Kelly. Let's do that. All
right. Nobody hit him in the back of the head.
Somebody say I'm the one who found her.
I'm the one.
Wait.
Freddie, we're recording this audio.
If you're a patron, you can see the lens of Kelly.
Are you going to say it?
We're the one who found her. Yeah, that's exactly it,
it's
Kelly.
It's more adorable than horrific.
Yeah, to see the lens.
I can't quite.
No, because Kelly's eyes are crossed, and he's doing like a Frankenstein arms.
All right. How do people see the lens, Freddie?
If you're a patron, you'll see it. It's kind of like Snapchat.
If you're down on the well, you'll see it.
If you want to see our ding-dong, you can go on your Patreon, because sometimes we'll put temple a ding-dong pickup.
Millie's trying to eat your shirt. All right, everybody, listeners, I hope you had fun with us. We had fun. We'll see you next time. Okay.
Bye, you guys. This was great.
Bye.
Bye.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to